Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Real quick before we start the show, just wanted to let you guys know you can get the show 2 days early by joining our Patreon. Even for a buck, you can listen to the show 2 days early. Go to patreon.com/analogtalk and we got a bunch of stuff over there. Check it out and enjoy the episode.
Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Tim.
I'm Chris.
And on today's show, we have Caleb Kenevan. Hey, Caleb.
Hi, Caleb.
Hello. How are you guys?
Good. Very good. Thank you for joining us. We're excited to have you.
Of course. Well, thank you. I'm excited. I don't know. You guys, this is cool. Awesome. I'm super pumped.
For our listeners who may not know who you are and what you got going on, do you mind giving them a background on how you got into photography and all that?
Yeah, totally. So photography kind of came from film school, really. Like if I were to go back to the genesis of everything, actually even before that, like skate videos.
Oh, yeah.
I was living in Texas and I was a terrible skateboarder, like the worst, but I wanted to hang with my friends and the cool people who doing the cool tricks. And so I was like, well, my mom, she has a camcorder, so
yes,
like maybe I'll just steal that. And so I totally stole the camcorder and I would just go hang out with those guys, film them while they're doing their thing, and I felt cool. I felt like part of the crew. So it really started from like skate videos wanting to be cool to photography wanting to be cool. No. And then it kind of just went through like I went to school for filmmaking. And then I came out here, got a job in the industry with visual effects, and then photography came around because I was just bored. Mm. Like I would be sitting at the computer just like, you know, clicking away, doing visual effects stuff. And then I was like, I got to do something with my life. I can't be stuck behind a screen. So
yeah,
that's kind of where that came from. Like I read an article on this site called Gizmodo.
Oh, I remember that.
Like a tech blog, right? Yeah. Like, and it was just like, it said something like best medium format cameras or something like that. Something about how film and medium format was still like the king of photography.
Mm. Yeah.
Like it was still like the resolution killer. And I was like, huh, what's medium format? And then it started from there.
Man.
So that's kind of like, that's how it happened. Yeah.
Which medium format did you end up getting because of that?
So I was like, okay, so all these medium format cameras are expensive, right?
Uh-huh.
And I didn't know if I'm going to like this, what film, what, like, I didn't really care, right? I didn't know. and so I got a Holga because the Holga was like 70 bucks.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
I think I bought it on Amazon. Sorry, Holga USA or Lomo USA. But I bought on like Amazon. It came with all the backs to it. So I could do like 6x6, 6x5, and then 35. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. So yeah, that was the first one. And then it was cool because it had a colored flash too.
Oh, wow.
Man, that one. I always wanted the color flash. I just have the plain Jane Holga.
It's like a CFN, I think. It's called the CFN. I think it's for colored flash. And then N for something. I don't know. So that was the first one. And I was like, it immediately got addicted.
That's kind of crazy was that your first film camera or was that your first medium format film camera?
No, that was basically my first film camera.
It's like very interesting that
right
it's
off
like
the bat.
Very like kind of like a toy camera that you got your hands on first.
Oh, totally.
That's fascinating.
Technically, my friend who I was living with at the time, he gave me a 35mm camera. It was a Pentax or something.
Okay,
like that.
Cool.
Like one of the basic Pentaxes. Like not even a K1000, but just like, no, it was an ES2 or something like that. I don't know. But he gave that to me, but I was like, I'm going to put that in the corner. I think it came with a Takumar lens, and that's the reason he had it.
Okay.
So he's like, hey, here you go. I'm like, oh, okay, cool. But yeah, no, the CFN, the Holga was the first guy.
Just went
like,
that was straight for medium format. I love that.
I did. Well, I was like, I mean, coming from visual effects, we're always like, oh, what's the best? Like,
right.
What's the best resolution? What's the best, like, you know? And so I was like, I want the best.
I want it.
So I remember that first roll very vividly. Cause like we would go, me and the other artists were just, we would go to lunch together and I got it in cause I had everything shipped there to the company. So we got it in. I think I got a box of, what was it? It was a box of film at that. So at that point, the film was all expired that I bought and it was like, I think $70 for like 25 rolls or something.
Wow.
Like it was super cheap. Like I honestly, like I don't even remember what was in there, but it was like, now I'm like, oh my God, that's a gold mine.
I
know there was like some CVN or VCNs stuff, like some old Kodak stuff, some Acros, like I think original Acros, like all this stuff that I'm just like, now I'm like, what was I doing?
Right.
I just was like, it's cheap. But yeah, I remember like the first roll, like hanging out with friends and taking photos with that on the way to lunch. It was just, I was like, oh man, I have to make these 10 shots count. So it was cool.
Man, and that's great that it was with the flash too, because the Holga can be a little tough without the flash. Because it's, you know, it's a pretty stopped down lens. It's just tough because you don't know what your shutter speed is, and it's a spring, you know what I mean? You're just like, I hope this click, click. I hope it works.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you know, it's the mountain, the human trees. Like, there's like, you're like, and so at that point, I'm like, I know what I'm doing to the, because I had like a DSLR before, but I was like, I guess I'm in focus. And I guess that's the reason why I was like, okay, it was really soon after that I was like, okay, let's step this up.
Yeah.
And then, but the cool thing is like those flashes, it was great because I could go out at night and take photos of my friends at night. And and that was really interesting being like, okay, what colored flash am I going to put? Like, I think it was red, blue, and yellow, and then clear.
Cool.
But those four, you just dial on top. That was so much fun.
Man.
I don't know why I don't use that thing anymore.
I was going to say, if you haven't already, you need to do a video on that camera.
Oh, I did do a video. It was terrible.
No.
It was like one of my first videos. And I was just like, it was literally the worst thing in the world. I went back to that video recently and I was like, yeah, this is garbage.
Yeah. There's a lot of videos that I'm like, I should just reshoot this and pretend like the first one never existed.
Yeah. But then it's like, but if someone finds it, maybe... It's charming a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel that, yeah.
Or at least for yourself, you can be like, look how far I've been, I guess.
True, yeah. And that's kind of why I wasn't going to delete it. I did upload, I actually changed the thumbnail, to be very honest. I changed it because it was a bad thumbnail. I didn't know what I was doing.
Yeah,
It was like my second video. And the thumbnail was like, I thought it was clever, but no one knew what it was. They're like, it was a picture frame and the Holga was inside the picture frame, like as a picture. And it was like with some other things on it. And I was like, this is going to kill it. And no, it didn't. It definitely didn't. So we'll see if the new thumbnail does anything, but I highly doubt it.
Thumbnails are important. I feel like every day I want to go through and like redo all of mine. Cause I'm like,
yeah, no, totally.
Yeah.
It's fun. It's fun. But then it's like, man, I got to do a thumbnail now. Like you spend all this time on the video and you're like, now I got to do the thumbnail. And that's equally as important.
Exactly.
YouTube is such a beast. It's just such like, it's wild. All the things you can do to kind of get your videos seen more, you know, and the whole clickbait thing.
Totally.
I you know, you saying that about your thumbnail. I just remember I used to like clickbait titles, not like intentionally hardcore, like, you know, boy falls down well or something stupid like that. But it was like, I would throw somebody's name in it that
you should do that.
Now that I think about it. But yeah, I just feel bad because I know a couple, some of my videos are like, I'll put like Ted Forbes' name in the title and it's like, he's like talking in the background or something. Like it's just, it's, you know, just stupid stuff that we do to get people to click on things.
Oh, I know. I talk to my friend a lot about like, you know, video thumbnails and we just chat. We're really, you know, like creatively chatting. And he's like, you should go hard into that. Like you should lean real hard in clickbait. Like, you know, like, will I be naked at the end of this?
Yeah.
And you're like, that has nothing to do with photography, but like, maybe someone will go, no one wants to watch that one.
Oh,
so that would be the one. The actively like negative counts.
Man.
But yeah.
So what came after the Holga? What was the one that was like,
Yeah. So after that, like, obviously, like, all of us, we love eBay.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. And don't
I had
even.
Oh, I know, dude. I had a terrible eBay addiction even before cameras. Before it was just like, it was like, I'm into punk rock, right? So, like, it was like Clash DVDs and CDs and Clash shirts. This is before Hot Topic was a thing and, like, license all that stuff. Like, Ramones, like, so, stickers. I love stickers. Oh, I have a guitar that's just, like, full of stickers. And so I was like, I was addicted to eBay before. Like, it's bad. But no one is here for punk rock stickers talk. No. It was the Twin Lens, my Yashica A.
Oh, cool.
Yashica A.
Yeah. They're so good. They're so good. I love it. Yeah. And then, like, at the exact same time, I got an Electro 35.
Oh, okay.
Nice. Yeah.
I feel like I had that one. Is that one has like a really weird battery, doesn't it? The Electro.
Yeah. It's like tall and fat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, totally. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And I think I bought like 5 of them, and they're like, no, I lied. There's like 3 of them. And they were way too much money. It was like $30 on batteries, on 3 batteries.
Yep.
And I think I've literally only used one. And it also broke. So, no. Like, who needs GS batteries?
Right?
Damn.
Oh, man.
Hit me up. I got some Electro batteries for you. Yeah.
So what inspired you to start the channel?
You know, it's Jason. It was Jason.
It's okay. So, we can give him, you know, some credit.
I mean, come on. He gets a lot of credit.
Like, yeah.
Exactly. It was Jason because, like, so filmmaking has been a huge part of the reason I do a lot of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I was trying to find an outlet and a way to, like, kind of get that out there, my filmmaking out there. Because film festivals are kind of just a pain.
Yeah.
Like, you get in or you don't get in, you spend a lot of money and you definitely don't get, like, this is my third film that I just recently completed out here. In California. Wow. And like the other ones, they got like into a thing, mm-hmm. but like not really. And so I was just kind of thinking of like, okay, I need to get some creativity out. What is that going to be? What is that going to look like? And he was like, this YouTube thing is like a thing. And I'm like, it is? I mean, YouTube, I go to for like how to do this one thing.
Right. You know?
Yeah. So it was always very utility based for me. Mm-hmm. It's like, I need to know how this thing works, so I'm going to go do this thing.
Right.
I'm going to figure out, you know. It was never like an entertainment thing for me anyway in the beginning. So I was like, that's weird. Oh, that's really weird. And then he started his channel, and then I saw that, and I'm like, oh, wow, no, you can be creative with this space. Like, why didn't I think about that? And then when I was doing my short film, my last one, Cassette Tape, that took me way too long to do, to be very fair. Mm. It took way too long. And I was just like frustrated with that process because like I was shooting 16.
Oh, wow. Cool.
Didn't have a lot of help. And I was just like, I need creativity right now. Like I need to do something. And so that's kind of as I was like, you know what? I'm going to do that then. I'm just going to do it. And now I'm going to do the first video and it's going to be terrible, but I'm doing it. And I did. And then I was like, huh, okay. And then it just became like a thing of like, I just could get my creativity out.
Yeah.
Like it's just constant. Yeah.
I feel that a lot. I talk about that often too, that it's like just another outlet. Like the show is, YouTube is, like it's all encompassing. I feel like creative people like need more than one medium sometimes to scratch 100%. The itch. At least I do, you know?
Yeah, so. And I think that's great that you guys have like, the podcast and you guys videos and like totally 100%.
I wish I could write. That's the other thing. I wish I could scratch an itch.
I bet you could.
I always like think maybe I'll take a creative writing class or something, but who has time?
I know with all these other things going on. No, I totally, I feel you. Like I have so many different things that I like doing and it's really hard to do them all.
Yeah.
Especially, I mean, like, you know this, like, YouTube takes, at first you're like, I'm just gonna do this thing, whatever, in the corner. Like, it's just gonna be that thing.
Uh-huh.
And you're like, no, you, like, it takes, like, effort.
Yeah.
It, like, it takes a lot of
and
effort.
And then when you don't put something out, like, it's all I think about. Like, I haven't put out a video in this many days, this many weeks. Like, I gotta get back on it, you know?
Yeah. Oh, totally. Like, I'm always thinking, I'm sure you are too. Like, you're always thinking, what's the next one? What am I going to do?
Yeah.
And how is, like, this thing go? Like, you know, what's it going to be? And so, yeah, totally. It was just a way to scratch another creative itch that I wasn't able to do with my short film at the time. That was just a it was a big thing. Like, I hated that short film for a long time.
Oh no.
Oh man.
I hate it for a long time. Of course, that's actually my creative process, is like, I hate everything I do.
I get that.
There's this like hump. But yeah. Like, you love it enough to do the thing. Mm-hmm. And then you go and you do it and you're like, oh yeah, this is gonna be great. And you hit the ceiling of like, oh wow, this sucks.
Yeah, yeah. You're like, is this good? Oh, what did I get myself into?
Yeah. And you're like, I absolutely hate this. And it just like crashes. And then you kind of have to build it back up and find the reason why you love to do it in the first place. And that was that short film for me. It was just like, it was a very violent thing. And so it finally got out. Now I love it. I'm like, oh yeah, it's great. So
will you do do you have plans for any more in the future? Or are you kind of?
I always have plans for that. But it is hard with YouTube. Like, if I want to continue with YouTube, it's hard to segregate my brain, because there's definitely two different creative like processes going on. Like, short film and that narrative is usually, it takes a lot of effort to like wrap my head around what I want it to. And it's never like with Bad Flashes, it's like, I got an idea. Okay, boom. And I can like, it's almost like a sketch.
Right.
I can just throw it out there and just see what sticks and kind of work that way. But with my short films, it's like, I'm like, I literally need time to just sit down and not think about anything, so that thought process of the short film can come back and come through and like gestate. I had back like when quarantine was like at the height of its, you know, like no one was doing anything. I had this idea. I was having insomnia at the time. So I was having this idea. I was trying to play with insomnia, but like, I could never get that idea fully fleshed out in my brain before I could put something on paper. And it's still back there. It's like, it's doing something. And so I think there's going to be one day I'm driving my car somewhere, not thinking about anything, and it's going
to
hit.
And the light bulb goes off. Yep. Like, oh no. Like,
Hey Siri. And it's going to be gone. Hey Siri, remind me a note of blah, 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 blah. And then it's like, she takes down a completely different.
Oh.
Hey Siri.
I should have not said that. But yeah.
Yeah. My next question was going to be, do you also like do every aspect?
Okay. I created a note.
Thank you.
Yeah, I said that.
Cool. Okay. That's cool. Thanks, Siri.
Oh, I love it.
Let's just put that down. This is over there now.
So I've like worked with a lot of people in the industry out here on film sets and stuff. And a lot of people they like will write, shoot, direct, and edit, which I think it seems insane. But are you kind of that person as well? Like, you want the control of everything. Like, I'm going to write it, I'm going to shoot it, I'm going to direct it, I'm going to edit it. Or do you pass it off to?
Ish. Totally. It yes and no. Mm. I've been trying to push it off like on other people, depending on if they led me. And so kind of yes and kind of no. This last one, my friend Kristen, she edited. So usually I edit. So usually I do. I go through, because I've been editing, I mean, since I did skate videos.
So
usually writing and direct is, that's the one. Directing is the one. That's like top dog. That's the one that would always win out. So like, if someone came to me with a script and I'd be like, yeah, I dig this, I'm going to do it, that's totally chill. Like, I'm not precious about the whole writing and directing aspect. I enjoy that. But so directing is the top one. But like, after that, I kind of just do everything just because I can. And because I feel bad for like pushing another creative thing on someone else. But I do have a buddy who shoots my short films. And that's a thing where I let him do that.
Yeah.
Because I trust him.
Right.
And I know he knows what I'm talking about. And we talk about everything first. So he's really on board with what I'm doing and what I think. And then he comes to the table and he's like, oh yeah, what if we do this? I'm like, yeah, that's 10 times better than what I thought. So it is nice to have, like, when people say like collaboration's great, it's like, yeah, it totally is.
Yeah.
Just because you do have those people come through and give you like different ideas. Like, I was doing one called Bad Egg, which was the first short film I shot out here. That one, I very vividly remember doing pickups, because like, I didn't know what I was doing the first day. So I got pickups like months later, and I had a buddy do Steadicam for me. And he's like, hey, what if we start on this tree and kind of come and catch the character and like pick up on him? And I'm like, oh my God, that's a great set. Like, that whole thing makes it like 10 times better. I was just going to hard cut it.
Yeah.
It was going to be bad. So yeah. So that collaboration is great. And then, yeah, in editing, this is the first time that I haven't edited something. And that was something new because I'm usually like, because sometimes I do like to throw things at the wall to see if it works. Mm. That was a harder process to throw at the wall because I'm like, oh, I can't throw it at the wall. I have to kind of articulate what I'm feeling in that. And then I'll have to tell that to my editor so she can put it together and like get that feeling. So it was a cool process doing that this time. And so it just kind of depends on what I got going on. Like the next one, I might edit again, but it depends if my friend if she's open and wants the abuse, you know.
I feel like that's relatable for like photographers because we oftentimes will go from start to finish, you know.
Totally.
So I understand why people want to do it, especially because I feel like this generation of creatives is like, well, I've always just edited it. So why would I give it to somebody else? But like the old school people, like that was a skill, you know, because it was like film. They had 100%. So they like a director wouldn't know how to walk into like an editing room and be like, oh, yeah, I'll just hop in the chair, you know?
Totally. Yeah. And let me just like cut the thing and put it together. Yeah. Like tape it.
Yeah.
Just, no, totally.
I think it's like it's kind of fascinating that like one thing is one way and you one person is like a professional editor and that's what they do and you have to like go in and like let them do it, you know, and just trust to where like back in the day they were probably like, well, yeah, of course.
Okay, yeah, this is totally. And like the whole beginning of cassette tape, I had the idea, obviously, but then the feeling of it came from my editor, Kristen. Like she was like, oh yeah, I was kind of feeling, she was feeling inspired by Big Little Lies, I think.
Oh yeah.
So she, that whole, like the intro was kind of like that and she like edited it like that. And I was like, oh yeah, I totally see that. And I was like, that's dope.
Editors don't get enough credit. I feel like they need a bigger award at the Oscars because they'll like make the whole movie.
They make it like, I mean, a lot of people say the edit or the thing you write is not the thing you direct. Right, exactly.
Like
they're all different, all different like mediums and like it's creative processes. So totally, yeah. It was funny because like that, I think that first cut of cassette tape was like 23, maybe 30 minutes or something. Like that. It was long. And now it's like 14 or something.
Dang. You gotta shoot us a link or something to this.
I would
love to see it.
Yeah, I would love to. That'd be great. Man,
also, I keep thinking too of like how different it is doing YouTube to said shooting like a proper film, you know, because YouTube has its own style. And I feel like We all kind of do it, you know, the jump cuts, the time lapses, the this, the that, you know, it's like a totally different game. And I'm not trained in any sort of like videography type stuff, but like I'm so interested in it. And do you feel like it's like a completely different beast like that? Like when you're in film, when you're filming a short or something like that, is it like a totally different mindset, or do you bring kind of some of that into your YouTube stuff? Or
I was trying to bring a little bit of the YouTube feel, because you're definitely right, where it's like when you're watching YouTube, you forgive so many things. You forgive like the jump cuts and the push in, or the, you know, the jump cut in, or whatever. You the format is like, it's its own creative thing. But then you go into a short film or a feature film and you're like, well, I mean, unless you're kind of maybe doing something a little bit more experimental, because obviously that existed somewhere before. But you're like, oh, wait, would that be weird if it like jump cut in and you didn't like get the right coverage to flow? So there's kind of a different feeling. But I think with cassette tape, because I was so frustrated at the beginning, like after shooting it and during shooting it and all that stuff, I was able to bring, because I was doing YouTube at the same time, right? So I was able to bring some of that YouTube mentality to cassette tape. And I think that made it a little bit fresher for me to be like, oh yeah, let me jump in, let me finish this. Cause I mean, honestly, I should have finished it. I should have.
Yeah.
But I just couldn't. So I think that shoving some YouTubeness in there. Now, I don't know if you watch at the end of the day, you might not, you'd be like, I don't know, I don't see YouTube in there, but I guess it was just the mindset anyway.
Yeah.
Right.
It is much different because like I'm not directing myself. When I'm directing someone, I like to direct other people, or at least collaborate with actors so that we can create something that they, you know, they can also be proud of as well. So it is slightly different that way.
Man. So cool.
Yeah.
I've talked on the show how like someday I'd love to direct something.
Well, you know, you're a photographer. So, I mean,
exactly.
At the end of the day, it's like
the same thing, only not.
Yeah. it's the same thing, but you kind of just like, I mean, the easy thing when you get to like, so bad egg for me, my first one, I was able to get an actor. He was so good and got the character and just understood it 100% that I didn't have to do anything
right
to tell him what to do. Like anything. And it was fantastic. I think he had like one question. We had like 3 days of shooting or 4 days of shooting. He had like one question. Wow. He's like, should I do this? And I'm like, no. And he's like, cool. And I'm like, that's it. Yeah. That was it. And or maybe I even said yes. Who knows? Because yeah, he just knew the character. So, you know, at that point, like, yeah, you have an idea. Get someone who really, really knows what that character is. And then you could just like let them go to town. And then, you know, trust them. And then you could just worry about like the camera placement and all that fun stuff. I think you could do it. I think you'd be great.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Just for our film, moving picture film heads that listen to the show, you said you shot that on 16mm.
Yeah.
What is the cost of something like that in this day and age?
Yeah.
With like digitizing and all that stuff too. I'm curious just because I would love to get into it so much, you know?
Yeah, 100%. Well, there are definitely, it depends on where you go. Like, you know, there's Photochem out here and they're a big proponent. There's a bunch of different vendors that do specifically just the digitizing, scanning. And there's also that where you could go to Photochem, do scanning and developing and all that fun stuff together. But you know, it depends on how technical you want to get with the scans. I have a buddy, Tom. He's great. He's a film head. He has the amount of cameras that we have still photography wise, he has in like motion picture.
Oh, I'm cool. Just like
jealous of him all the time. Tom is such a good guy. So chill. He has a podcast as well and just talks about filmmaking. It's great. Anyway, I trust him with scanning.
Because
he scans at a professional lab. He scanned big Hollywood films that shoot film. He scanned them. So I trust him.
Yeah.
He's great. But to answer your question, it's kind of expensive.
Yeah.
It's expensive, Tom. It's up there.
I mean, 8mm is expensive.
8mm is expensive. Honestly, like 8mm, it's, and then jump up to 16. It's not the worst. Like that
not
jump
that
right
bad.
There. It's not that bad. Yeah. It's not that bad. But there are places you can go. I think there's a place in Michigan. I'm going to totally butcher this. It's not going to be in Michigan. It's going to be somewhere like completely else. But it's called like Color Lab or something like that. Tom hooked me up with the name. But apparently they do great developing in Michigan, air quotes. And I'll have to get you like all these names or whatever for people who want to.
Yeah, we can throw
like
it in the show notes then.
Yeah.
But he sends it there. He's from California. He's out here in California. He sends it there. He gets it developed. And apparently they do great job for a decent price. My first short film that I did on 16, I'll share those numbers because at least I kind of remember them. Like I shot four and a half cans of film, 16 film, which is 11 minutes each, which is 400 feet.
Wow. Yeah.
So 400 times four. And scanning that was like $1,500 or more.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
You definitely got to put it in the budget.
You have to put it in the budget. And that's why I did a budget for Stadium. That's what it's called, Stadium. It's a lot.
Does that change your mind frame? Because, you know, like, as film photographers, I'll like, you know, not take a photo because I'm like, not going to waste it. Are you like stressed on set because you're like, I can't just like,
well, yes and
blow
no
through this.
So for Stadium was my first short on 16. Yes, 100%. We were like shooting ratios. We had to make sure I could only do like two takes or three at max, but just for maybe like one take I could only, or like one shot I could only do three times. That one I was so conscious on. I got a grant from, so I did a Kickstarter.
Cool.
And that Kickstarter was also a Kickstarter/Kodak grant. So if I made, if I made the money, Kodak would give me the film up to like a certain percentage.
Dude,
it was like,
that's
so
cool.
It was awesome. Yeah. So I got, I think six cans, six rolls, for my short, which was totally enough. I was like, okay, I can do that.
Yeah.
And I shot four and a half. So that was good. But like, I honestly, for cassette tape, I blew through like 4 or 5 cans in the first day.
Mm. Oh.
And I was just like, shooting. And I was like, I gotta get more.
Yeah, yeah.
I ran out.
Oh no.
And I had to shoot the next day. So this is kind of going like a non sequitur. I go everywhere sometimes when I talk.
It's a podcast, man. Let it fly.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's this place called Real Good. Good Film.
Yeah.
You've probably heard about them before. Yeah, they're here in Hollywood. I called them.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
On a whim, they're closed on weekends. I called him on a whim and I was like, anyway, and he was there.
Ugh.
The guy was there. I was like, oh my God. It's like, is there any way that I could get some 7222, which is black and white? And I need maybe like, I need like 5. And he's like, where are you at? I'm like, I'll be in Pasadena. He's like, oh, I live in Pasadena. Okay, well, I'll drop it off. So like, I gave him the credit card over the phone. He then drops it off that day. And then I go out and I'm like, oh, that's so solid.
Dude. What a sweetheart.
Yeah. Oh my God. I know. And it's like, I never had a relationship with him. Like, I've never, like, that was the first time I ever called. He's like, oh yeah, it's fine.
Dude, that is customer service right there.
Yeah.
It really is. And I actually just moved and it's like within walking distance from
me. Uh-oh. That's
like,
trouble.
It's dangerous. It's a little dangerous. But I think to go back to even further to your question about like price, the developing section is actually not, it's not the worst.
Okay.
I think it's around like $600, and these are going to range. I can't remember because there's so many numbers flowing through my head, but like for like 4 to 6 cans, it may be around that $600 range.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
For processing. And if you send it somewhere else to get digitized, mm-hmm. like I really have only been to Photochem for processing, but if you send it somewhere else, they have to prep it for scanning, and that's like a little extra cost.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah. But yeah, I like my guy Tom. His scans are phenomenal. So.
And obviously you think film is worth the money, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do. Yeah. I do, definitely. I like working that way.
Mm-hmm.
It's a completely different workflow. Like everyone knows about, you know, taking digital photos or film photos, same kind of thing. It's just, it is such a different feeling when you're doing it. It shouldn't be. I mean, kind of like, cause you're like pointing a camera at a thing to get actors to do, you know, to like act in front of the, so it's like theoretically, but it's just like the workflow and the process. Like if someone would ask me, oh, why do you shoot film or why, like, sure, we could all shoot megapixels.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's like it's always the process for me. That's the thing that will always win out is process. I like the process. If I don't like the process, then what's the point?
Right.
So.
I feel, I said it a million times on this show. I feel the same way of pointing a film camera at something and then pulling up a digital camera and taking the same photo. I mean, they could look identical, but I know that I can trust that I don't know. I don't know what it is, why it's so like that. I guess
it's
just like ultra hipster, you know.
Totally. We're all super hipsters.
I just see so differently and I feel so differently when I have a film camera. And you know, heck, that's why we're still here, you know, 5 years later doing this podcast talking about it every week. It's just
Exactly.
So Caleb, where does photography land in your like passion? Do you feel like filmmaking will always have your heart and like photography is kind of like your side piece or
That's really funny. I never thought of it as a side piece. That's such a hard question filmmaking was one of those things and is the thing that I continuously want to do, but then photos and taking and being a photographer and stuff like that, I think they have to go one and like hand in hand with each other. Mm. And they'll always kind of be down that path. I used to get really like upset, or not upset. I used to think, and I still think a lot about like, you know, your path in life and who's in people's paths in life. And like, you know, it, when you're growing up, you're like, I want to be a fireman, yeah, or a firefighter, yeah, you know, or whatever going. And then it changes. You're like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to do something else. And, you know, I've always wanted to be a filmmaker, always. And I'm only kind of coming to the grasp, like, maybe that was just my path to get to photos.
Oh, interesting.
Wow. Yeah.
And it wasn't, and I shouldn't, because sometimes I beat myself up about like, oh, you're not doing another short film, or I told myself feature by 30. I was going to make a feature by 30. I'm past 30 now. Yeah. So like, that's just one of those things that like, I have to constantly remind myself. It's like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't, maybe, yeah, for a long time it was, but it's maybe something different now, and you should be okay with that. It's okay.
Yeah. That's like you speaking about that process is something that I'm sure a lot of our listeners can relate to too, is like, at least for me, like I just had a shoot last week that I was like, so I do a lot of on-set photography out here. And I it's not that I don't love set photography. I really do. It really is a fun gig, but I had a shoot last week where they needed stills and they just needed a photographer. So I was like the photographer on set. So like, I was the center of the attention, and
that's cool.
I haven't been that in a while. And I was just like, this is the best. It was like such a, like, a validation is such a like huge thing.
Yeah, totally. Did they let you shoot film?
No, it was a, no. I probably could have like in between, but
it was just pull out like a cool camera and they'd be like, ooh, what's that? Yeah. You're like, it's nothing. You wouldn't like it.
So they asked me to shoot tethered at first. And I was like, I haven't done that since photo school. I don't know. I don't know anything.
Yeah.
Something I need in my regular like photo career. Yeah. So they're like, okay, that's fine. And then when I got there, it's basically for an ad agency. I'll just say that. Like that was the client. Yeah. So you have to show these photos to, like, normally they'd be looking at the monitor if I was tethered, you know?
Yeah.
So we figured out a way to plug in to Zoom. So we would like shoot a bunch and then we would pause, go through and Zoom, and they're like, yeah, these look great. These look awesome. So it was just like all day, like constant validation. Oh, cool. I was like, this is
I love it.
They're like,
it.
So good. It's so
more,
good. I was
please.
Like, because I was so nervous because it was like, I've never really, I've never really done that kind of shoot. I've definitely like shot for like musicians and like for like promo photos and stuff like that.
Right.
But not really for like, you know, a bunch of important people like who are going to be looking like instantaneously, you know, like, so it was a little nerve wracking, but it was like I said, the validation of like, I am a photographer and this is what I love and this is the, So
that's cool. I think I would be sweating profusely. Just be like,
I'd be a mess.
And there was like, I didn't bring any lighting because I didn't think I needed it. I had my flash, which I was like, this will be fine because it's just at a house. Like, we're going to be shooting. Most of the breakdowns were outside. I was like,
oh, okay. Yeah.
It's okay. But then I got there, the house was like super dark, and I was like,
You gotta lean into that style real hard.
But, your iPhone flash out.
Yeah. Oh my god, yeah. We've all done that.
All the windows got open. The house lit up beautifully.
Cool.
But there was like one moment, because this outside, the light starts to change. You're like, okay, we're going to set up him like drinking coffee. It's going to pretend like it's like a mock coffee spot. I'm like, okay, cool. And I'm like, wait a second. It's high noon. Like, like, it's just the harshest, like, not so. They ended up popping a tent over the spot and it like worked perfectly.
Cool. Yeah.
So like that's another example of like, you know, when you have a crew, you know, like
totally
just like the crew came through and made it work. And it was, that was the only time I was like, oh no, what do I do?
I didn't bring a reflector.
Yeah. I didn't bring it.
I didn't bring anything. Yeah. Yeah.
I don't even think a reflector wouldn't have even really, because we ended up bringing out a reflector, but it was just the overhead. It was just like,
Totally. Like,
it wouldn't even really have helped. But we made it work. It was awesome.
Yeah. No, having a crew, like, I mean, I only have just my short films to go off on this, but they're like really helpful. Cause like when you're taking photos sometimes and it's just you're always constantly thinking of everything. I gotta do this, or I gotta somehow hold the reflector up or, you know, the bounce board enough. But with a crew, you're kind of like, I think I need like a floppy over there.
Yeah.
And then some guy like runs over with a floppy.
Whoa.
Okay. It's such a great feeling when you can just like compartmentalize like the thing you have to do. You're like, you know, I got to do this. Sweet.
And that's why like photographers have assistants, you know? Like,
yeah. Oh, totally. Yeah.
Having an assistant is even a dream when you're doing a shoot. Like, because I'm always one woman show.
Totally.
Just like to bring somebody to be like, can you hold this reflector actually?
Yeah.
It's a game changer because you're trying to hold it while you're like, nobody can see what I'm doing, but I'm being ridiculous.
No, we've all been ridiculous. Yeah. We've all been in that spot.
Man, just another question. One more on the whole, you know, the side piece battle between, you know, moving and still. Like lately I've been working on music and it was something that I haven't done in a long time. And I've noticed since I've been doing that, my photo walks have kind of been struggling and my photo inspiration, you know, like I just kind of lost, not like lost sight of photography. Cause I still take three cameras with me wherever I go in my backpack. And like, I do take photos. It's not like I've completely given up on it, but how do you find that balance of like when you're in movie mode, are you still out like taking pictures? And when you're in picture mode, are you like still, you know, director's eye kind of thing, like, or is it kind of like one kind of trumps another in the moment? Or
yeah, well, when I was on set with First Cassette Tape, I brought my my EOS 1N and I was like, oh yeah, I'm gonna take pictures when I have the chance. Cool. It's like everything and whatnot, and I was like, yeah, I was like super pumped I was gonna do that. And then I don't think I took a photo of the day.
I was so entrenched
with what I was doing. Also, it doesn't help that I had hands. I had a lot of hands. I had like sound. I had someone to help with grip. I had the camera guy. Like I had people to do stuff, but I didn't have enough people to do stuff where like I was still running slate and I was still doing practical lighting and I was still doing stuff like that. So I could look at the monitor sometimes and then other times I would have to be doing something else. So the photos, I wish I could take photos. Like I remember when Rian Johnson was doing Last Jedi, he was like, it was like a behind the scenes and he was like, he had his Leica.
We've all seen that photo.
Right. That's why, you know. And he was like, oh yeah, taking photos. And I'm like, that's what I want to do that.
I want to
do that. I mean, I don't have a Leica right now, but like, I'll do that. He could do that. He has like a billion people that could just do everything. He can chill for a moment and be like, oh, that's a really cool, you know. But yeah, no, it's, I would like to.
Unless the photos have like been released and I don't know, but maybe he didn't take a photo. He just wearing his Leica, like on set.
Yeah. He has a sponsorship by and just like, you have to have it around here.
Flash forward to his interview and he's like, yeah, I brought my Leica. I didn't even get a chance to use it.
I'm just like Rian. I have been wanting to be in that mode, but yeah, it's so hard.
Like it's just such a balancing act. But I mean, for me personally, it, you know, I kind of finished the outline of this like little album that I'm working on and I'm kind of letting that sit, you know, kind of how you said you hated your movie there for a while. You were like, burn in hell, you know, die. I hate you right now. That's kind of where I'm at with this. I'm just like, dude, I'm over this for a minute, because they all start to sound like crap and I'm like, all right. And then I went for a walk and I was like, oh, hey, like, hey, camera, like, you look so, I need to wipe you down. When was the last time you got cleaned up? And, oh, look at the tree came in over here. And I'm like, it's just so weird, like, how.
Like, ebbs and flows.
Yeah,
like.
The creative mind is just so nuts, you know? Mm-hmm. It's, well, I mean, I'm personally crazy, but it's just.
I think we all
are,
to be.
Yeah, I think you have to be.
To
I think
juggle,
it's
like,
just
a thousand things. Uh-huh. Like, totally. You got to be like, yeah, I want to take photos and I want to do music. That's all. I mean, that's. It's what it's all about. Like, how do we stay sane? Yeah. I think that, I don't know. That's for me anyway. How do I stay sane?
Dude, right
camera
here.
In the hand or like, yeah. Like, I haven't picked up a guitar in a while, but I feel that. Like, there was a time when I was like just jamming out. I'd have to do that every day after work, or after school or something, just to be like, okay, let me let work run off me. I don't want to think about it. Now it's time to get into a different headspace where I can start creating and start doing my thing. So it is nice having those. I think that's why I like process and why I like tactile things. Like I also have way too many record players. Who needs more than one record player? No one. But like I do.
Yeah.
one in every room. Like, it's ridiculous. But I think that's why I also like the record player too. Like, it's the, you take the physical thing, you put it down, you put the needle on, yeah. like, you know, and you listen, you sit and listen. Mm. And that process is almost the same to me as like the photography process or anything else. It's like the experience of the thing, not yeah. necessarily.
Wow.
'Cause like one of my buddies was always like, shooting film is stupid. Like, shooting, and I won't say his name, but he knows who he is. If he's going to listen to this, I also love you. So there you go. But, he was like, you could do the same thing. Even if you want the look, you can recreate it. You're a visual effects artist. You could do that. I'm like, I know I can do that. I've done that.
That's not
I
the point.
It. But it's not the point. Yeah, exactly. It's like the process of doing the thing yeah. puts you in a completely different headspace to be able to make the decisions that you want to make, you know, whether it's like, or not make. I'm going to take a picture of dog shit. No, maybe not. Maybe so.
You should let him borrow one of your cameras for like a week or so.
I should.
Like, you have to put like at least two rolls through and then talk to me.
That's a good point. That's a good point. I should.
Because I feel like that'll be like, whoa.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. Or he'll just despite me.
Yeah, he maybe. Be like, it still sucks.
He might secretly love it, but he'll be like, I can't tell him
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Hilarious.
Yeah.
We'll be right back with a listener question for Caleb right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for Analog Talk comes from Polaroid. Use the promo code ANALOGTALK10 on your first purchase on film at Polaroid.com.
Just wanted to pop in here quick and let you know about our Patreon-only developing nights. Now, it's a Patreon-only exclusive. We've done a bunch already. They're a ton of fun. We laugh. We talk shop. We develop film. It's a good time. We've been trying to get a past guest to be a part of these as well, so that's just another fun little aspect of it. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. It is the best way to help support the show. Thanks, guys.
All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we take a question from one of our listeners, and this week's question comes from Processed Negative on Instagram, and they ask, what are some things that you do to help get out of a creative rut? Videos, film, etc.
Creative rut. Yes, that's everyone's nightmare.
Mm-hmm. Literally.
Oh, yeah.
I think it kind of is maybe what we kind of touched on a little bit earlier with like having another creative outlet to do something with. Like, mm-hmm. like you as your yeah. guitar and mm-hmm. like music or, you know, if I'm having a creative rut in my movie making, it's maybe I pick up my cameras, you know, and go out and take photos or maybe it's vice versa or whatever. Or, another thing I like to do is woodwork.
Woodworking cool.
is just one of those. Yeah. Like the desk that I'm sitting at, I made, like I have the entertainment center, in the living room I made. There's a lot of side tables. I like to make furniture. And I think that's also really, it's about a process again, right? It's getting the materials and cutting them down and being creative with how you make it. Mm. So woodworking is definitely, I don't know if anyone probably thought I was going to say woodworking.
No.
But woodworking.
I love it though.
Yeah. It's just like that. It's that like you take a hammer and you're just like, hit the nail and you're like, oh, I feel so good. You know? So woodworking. I'll just sum it up. Woodworking.
I love that.
Woodwork.
That's a great answer because I think, and great question. Thank you to Process Negative for sending that in. But yeah. a lot of us like forget, like we can have hobbies outside of the umbrella of photography.
Yeah.
You know, like
yeah.
we can like take a pottery class or like buy a totally. Bike and just, you know, or pick up a guitar. Like I feel like that helps with the creative mm-hmm. stuff because you're not just totally. Like all yeah. the time, like, oh, I got to create pictures. Like,
oh, totally. Especially when you're doing something kind of like redundant, repetitive, and something you don't even have to think about. That's why I think a lot of people, they go to the shower and they can think or they drive, which is a little scary to drive and think. And then you're like not paying attention, yeah. but like, we'll just forget about that. But like those things that you always do, just you don't have to think about. And
right.
then you can start opening up your mind to other things. And I think that's woodworking. Like, if I were to do something, I'd make a design and I'm like, cool, this is the design. How do I implement it? I figure that out. And then when I'm doing it, I'm just like, okay, hammering, you know, screwing cool. some things in and putting stuff together. And then I can be like, oh, wait, I should be filming this. No.
Yeah.
then it's like, oh, okay, so, what about that
I
one
mean,
thing?
Yeah. I feel that all the time. I'm just like, why did I not set up a camera to film this?
At least a GoPro in the corner. I think that's what it is.
That's good advice.
Definitely.
Okay, so guys, we're going to hit him with the tough questions. So Caleb, if you had to pick one camera to bring to a desert island because you're stranded, what would it be and why?
So is there also someone on the island to fix said camera if it breaks?
Yeah, it's a magical island.
Okay, magical island.
You can develop film forever.
Yeah, I think at the little photo hut that there's a really good technician if need be.
I like that. Like it. Okay. I think it's going to have to be my Mamiya 7.
Ooh.
That's a good answer. Yeah.
That's a great camera.
I went with Jason on this trip. Just having that by my side, it felt so good. Every photo you take, it's amazing. It really is. And it's so light. I think it has to be the Mamiya 7.
I thought you were going to say your Canon.
Yeah. You know what? That would be a good one, but I love medium format because it's the first film, you know, that I started with. And I'll probably always pick that over 35, medium format over 35. I like 35. Obviously, I got myself a nice shiny M6, but, the Mamiya just feels so good. It really does. And like, I was chasing it for so long and to finally have it, it's kind of like, okay, cool.
It's something about the chase.
I know.
You know, like when you finally get it, it's like,
yeah, it feels good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't want to, there was the, you know, and the price came through at a decent price and I was like,
that's the best. Okay. You can't beat that.
Happy birthday.
Yeah. Happy birthday. Yeah. Merry Christmas. Happy Hanukkah. Happy all the things.
Exactly. all the things. Happy all the things.
Yes.
Smiling all the time.
So with that being said, since you did chase this one, is there anything that you're currently chasing or lusting after? Is there a white whale camera?
Yeah. So-
Of course,
it never ends. Who are we kidding ourselves?
I mean, I'm not going to say that I don't have like a billion eBay tabs open right now.
Right.
So I recently went down to the Darkroom Lab and, you know, hung out with Phil and Trev.
I was supposed to go to that. I know. Yeah, but we had our honeymoon planned. I was like, babe, and he was like, you really want to, and I was like, no, okay, fine. There'll be more. I won't go.
There was a lot of fun. But we did a photo walk with them and like Phil was using an X-Pan and Jason had his X-Pan and I'm like, it looks pretty beautiful. It looks nice. So I think it's the X-Pan.
That's same here. It's a good camera. With that camera.
It's everything that like I try to justify my camera purchases, maybe as we all do, but like it has to have like a different thing to it. So the X-Pan is the, well, I don't have one that does panorama.
Yeah, exactly. Well,
so I think that's the reason why it's that one. I also said like, I probably won't ever get an M6 or like a Leica because they're just so, you know, so expensive. But then it's like, well, at a certain point, it's just going to happen, I think.
Yeah,
it so does. Just start saving up. But yeah, man, I think also the thing that I really like about it is because it is so cinematic, because of the style of the, like that. I mean, I'm sure a lot of people have said that, but like it's just so big.
Yeah.
For being 35, it's like, it's there. It's like, I can just see, I feel like I see a movie inside that frame.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
I scanned some X-Pan negs for a friend of mine, and it was like on a ranch. It was on a cattle ranch, and it just looked straight out of a movie. You know,
yeah.
I was blown away by it. And ever since then, I'm just, you know, just one of those cameras that's going to just skyrocket in price.
I
kind of want to like maybe rent it and like give it another whirl because I
totally
didn't love it. But I didn't spend that much time. It was like only an afternoon. It was actually Phil's. He let me shoot it. Just like having, like you said, that other, you know, it's like almost like a project camera. Like I'm going to shoot these.
Oh, totally.
Crazy different format.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That makes sense. I like that. Cause then you're like, I'm doing it for a thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like half these cameras sit on the shelf and it's like, oh, that'd be cool to do the thing. But like, Yeah, to rent it or something for a project. And you can, because you're right, I always forget about that fact that you can rent a camera.
Yeah.
Yep. You just, yeah, you can borrow it for a certain amount of time. And sure, it's not like yours to bang up, but like it still gives you, at the end of the day, the thing, the creative outlet, you know?
Yep.
So he, what was it about it that you don't think you liked?
So when you look through the viewfinder, like it was a bright day and it just kept, the meter kept disappearing.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Not to talk crap on the camera, but I was just like, I can't see the meter.
Yeah, they start freaking out.
Yeah.
I don't think I've ever taken a photo with one. So like, I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, I've obviously held Jason's without him knowing several times, but, I'm just like in his room, like just, I've actually never shot with it, but I've definitely held. It's just, yeah.
I mean, that's
I can get that though.
Thing about like renting it is like, maybe rent it and then see if, because they're works. So, everything's so expensive. Right. You might be like, yeah, totally. I'm not jiving with it. You know?
Yeah. Totally.
Or
that
like
makes sense.
Renting or borrowing and then being like our last guest, Maddie, she was saying, she told me let her borrow a Hasselblad and then she's like, oh, I don't need this.
Yeah.
You know?
Totally. But Hasselblads are nice too, though.
They are.
That's another one.
they're nice. I had a friend, he let me borrow it for like a year straight. Like he had two.
Wow.
And this is, I think, right before I got my Pentax. So I hadn't got my Pentax 6.7 yet, but I had the Hasselblad. He gave me a 50 millimeter lens with it. I think it comes with like a 50. I don't know, 50 and a 110. And I just remember going around shooting that thing. And it was the saddest day when he's like, hey, can I have my camera back? I was like, oh, man, you remembered?
My dog ate it, bro.
Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah. You're like, what camera?
Yeah. I don't remember.
What are you talking about?
Camera. new phone, who this?
Yeah. Oh my God. It's hilarious.
Yeah.
Well. Caleb, this has been great. It's been great. I feel like we've hung out a bunch of times. We never got like any real like one-on-one hang time, so this has been awesome.
Yeah, because you're like, you're around a bunch of people and it's like you ebbs and flows, yeah. This conversation. I feel you totally,
but I'm very excited for more of those to come in the future. I feel like,
oh my God, I know. I feel like, I don't know why it was only this pandemic year that like got me out shooting with more people than just Jason.
Yeah, because I remember when we did Jason's video, when he invited me to be on his channel, I was like, you guys ever go to like beers and cameras? And you guys were like, no. And I was like, oh, you gotta go. Next time there's one, like, let's go. And then bam, pandemic happened.
Yeah, that's true. I totally forgot.
Yeah.
That it was almost like, yeah, that interview and then boom.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was crazy. It was also good, like, hearing Tim, like, and seeing you. Because, like, I hear you constantly in my dreams. But, like, you're also, you know. But, like, it's good to see your face in, like, the talking aspect of
yes,
it. Yeah,
yes.
It's great.
Well, I'm planning on, I'm hoping by like August, probably the end of August, maybe doing like a 2-week thing in California, just getting the heck out of here. And just because I mean, all my people are over there and I'm over here.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
Yeah. Pack up all your cameras and come on over. Let's
taking
hang.
Every single one, all 107 of them.
Is that a joke?
No.
Is that a joke?
No.
It's not a joke?
I wish it was. Wow. I mean, they're not all like bangers or anything, but
I'm
one of those people that can't, you know, I'll buy the broken Canon OWL at Goodwill for no reason.
Yeah. Dude, that, I mean, I feel better a little bit because I was like, I'm like topping out at like 40 or something.
Yeah.
But you're right. They're not all, they're like, you buy a box of cameras and you're like, this was $12. And
yeah. The majority of them, they're
cameras.
Still in boxes from when I moved. They're just like, you know, they're there.
Yeah.
Hilarious.
Yeah, that's funny.
Well, Caleb, where can everybody check out your YouTube, your website, Instagram? Where are you at?
Yeah, well, I'm everywhere. You just type in my name and you'll find something. Bad Flashes on YouTube. It's just Caleb Knieven at Instagram. There's also Bad Flashes that's Instagram, but that one's like not film at all. It's a completely different thing. And then my website, you'll see most of my short films there.
Cool.
And that's just CalebKnieven.com.
Oh, awesome.
Perfect.
So, yeah.
Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram. It's at Timothy Makeups. I have a bunch of old YouTube stuff. I haven't made a video in so dang long, but easiest way to find that, just go to the search bar, type in Timothy Makeups. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So, I am Crispy Photo on all the things, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram, and we have a Facebook page and a group you can join and share stuff.
Yeah.
Caleb, woo-hoo! This is awesome. Thank you, thank
this
you, thank
was
you.
So much fun.
So thank fun.
You. Thank you for having me on. This
of course.
Highlight.
Yay.
Highlight.
All right, guys. We'll see you in the next one. Bye. Bye.
All right. First off, Chris and I would like to thank Caleb for coming on the show. Dude, you're the best. We had so much fun. It was so good getting to laugh and get your story and talk about something a little different on the show. We got to talk about your movie making, which was a ton of fun. Caleb, it was great to finally get you on here. Thank you so much for taking the time. Guys, it's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. We post it on a Wednesday. You get it on a Monday. We're also doing solo shows over there. We're doing our develop and hang nights. Bunch of other little stuff we got going on. Like I said before, Patreon is the best way to help support the show. So for the patrons that already help support the show, you guys are the best, and we do not know what we would do without you. That's going to be it for this week's episode, guys. Awesome. So until next week, we'll see you soon. Later, guys.
American Giant makes great clothing, sweatshirts, jeans, and more right here in the U.S. Visit American-Giant.com and get 20% off your first order with code STAPLE20. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code STAPLE20.
Hurry into Menards and save big money. Stock up on water softener salt for softer skin and cleaner clothes. Diamond Crystal is the perfect choice of salt to minimize water softener tank residue. It helps your soaps and detergents clean better while increasing the life of your appliances and plumbing. Save big on Diamond Crystal products at Menards. And don't forget to check out the flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now. Save big.